الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders And of course, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers. It is mentioned that a plant which grows in the green fields, it is nurtured properly. Somebody is taking care of that plant, observing it very well, nourishing that plant. And that plant will grow in a very beautiful manner. Unlike that plant which is grown in the midst of a desert. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us after the ni'mat of iman in Islam. And of course, the ni'mat of parents that we have. Allah has blessed us with a valuable asset, an amanat, a sacred trust. And that is the trust of children. Those who do not have children, they pine for a child. They will make all endeavors, attempts. They will make dua. They will go to doctors. They will undergo treatment so that they may be blessed with a child. Of course, that is solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that a child, this gift that we are bestowed with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that we should treasure and value. It's an amanat. The mothers will relate very well to this when the parents are blessed with a child. And of course the excitement, the ecstasy, the happiness, the joy, especially if it is the first child. And even more if it's after a long period of time. The father out of excitement will dig deep into his pockets. And the person who gives him the good news, then immediately he will give some gift to that person. People will surround the mother. They will praise the child. And after all the guests are gone, the nurse knocks on the door. And she brings in to the room, the crib, with this bundle of joy. She places this bundle of joy onto the chest of that mother. Bring her such warmth. The mother looks and admires her child. She whispers to the child, there's nobody else there. It's the mother and her child. She says, Assalamu alaikum, my love, my life, my darling. She has in her hands now a very weighty responsibility. A very big amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Various thoughts will run through her mind that how I am going to nurture this child. The upbringing of children, tarbiyat of children is of essence, great importance. Very many people today cry, they complain of a perverse child. An impudent child. The child is disobedient. It's rude. Stubborn. How many mothers and fathers will say, I'm trying everything. My child is so stubborn. My child is rude. My child actually abuses me, not only by means of his tongue, verbal abuse, but even physical abuse. This is a stark reality. One can probe into many causes and reasons. And of course, the parents do enjoy rights over their children. Undoubtedly. Quran Sharif is explicit on this. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has ordained that we should worship only Him. Immediately after that, the next injunction is for children to be obedient to their parents. There's no doubt about that. The parents enjoy rights over their children. But we forget the rights that children enjoy over us. And amongst the many causes of a disobedient child, if we have to probe and examine and analyze the various reasons, we don't have much time. Great conventions and conferences and meetings are held throughout the world. It's a global problem. It's not only the Muslim Ummah that is suffering. If you read the paper, and you will see parents actually making the statement, the mother says to the child, I wish I did not give birth to you. Islam has a solution to all our problems. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, practical zindagi, his practical life, his sunnahs, his way of life, the morals, the values that he has taught us to inculcate in our children. Quran and Hadith is replete. We have stories. These are not tales. These are genuine episodes and incidents in the lives of the pious predecessors. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. The manner in which their children behaved, their conduct, the mannerisms they had, the etiquettes they displayed, the love for Allah and the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To that extent, that level, where a young child 13 years of age is prepared to sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah on the battlefield. There's an incident of a person by the name of Shuja Kirmani, rahmatullahi alayhi. He had very close, or he was very closely related to a king. And he had a daughter. And so the king was very interested, or he expressed his ardent desire that my son, the prince, must get married to your daughter. Shuja Kirmani rahmatullahi alayhi says, just give me 3 days respite. Let me ponder and reflect, and I will give an answer soon. He goes into the masjid and he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he desires that his daughter must be placed in the right home. So whilst he is engaged in ibadat and dua, suddenly he sees a young person coming, quietly engaged in ibadat, in salat and dua. He observes this youngster. It comes into his heart that this is the person I wished that my daughter should marry. Goes up to him, offers his daughter to him. The person, this boy, declines. He says, I'm a pauper, I'm a poor person. I don't have the means. I only have 3 dirhams. Shuja Kirmani Ramadha says, don't worry about how much you can afford. But I wish that you should marry my daughter. And of course, Shuja Kirmani rahmatullahi alayhi refuses the proposal of the prince. So he gets his daughter married to this youngster. Poor person. Simple. But very pious indeed. So the couple are married. And she goes now to her husband's home. The first night. And as she enters, she sees on one side a bowl and there's some dry crumbs of bread. She's alarmed. She's shocked. He observes that she is gazing at that crumbs of bread. He realizes he is a poor person. How is he going to look after this girl? Oh, she will not be very happy to live with him in his simple way of life. She asked, what is this? So he responds, he says, that these were crumbs of bread left over from last night's supper that I had. And I have preserved it, I've kept it back for supper tonight, for my meal tonight. She says, can I please take your permission? I would like to go back to my father's home. Now this statement, I need to go back to my father's home, is very common today. Very common. And of course, any one of our daughters who is married in this way and so this condition, she will run away immediately. But look at the reason. The reason behind this woman, this young girl, expressing the desire and seeking permission from her new husband to go back to her father's home. She says, I'm surprised. My father has spent approximately 20 years in searching for a suitable, pious husband for me, for myself. And now he has wedded me off to a person who has no trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the provider, that he even leaves a few crumbs of his meal for the next day? Where is your tawakkul then? I thought I would be married to a pious person who has reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, she remained at home. But the point here is that these were the type of people of the past. And the reason for this again is the parents had inculcated in their children proper upbringing, Islamic values, Islamic morals, Islamic adab, etiquette. The very first thing that is called out into the ears of a child, a newborn child, is the adhan in the right ear, iqama in the left ear. The very first thing a child should be taught is the name Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach little children du'as whilst they were at a tender age. It is mentioned that the mind of a child is like a slate, a clean white slate. Whatever you're going to write on that slate is going to be imprinted on the mind of the child. They say little ears are listening. In front of the child, what type of language do parents use? The abusive language, the vulgar language, swear words, and after a couple of days you hear the child saying the same words, uttering the same words that you use on your wife or she used on you when you had an argument, then you become terrified, then you become angry, then you want to spank the child. We have not become role models. We can put the blame on the vicious environments of society, undoubtedly. The company our child has is of essence. But we have to choose the company of our child. So the very first thing is the ta'aleem. The Islamic education your child gets. Brothers and elders, let us be honest to ourselves. How many of us, years have gone by, have passed in our life. We have reached old age, and still we are unable to recite the Qur'an Majeed. Therefore, these Islamic madrasas and makatib are very, very crucial in the life of a child, not when the child is old, when the child is young. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got a little child sitting on his lap. And they're eating, partaking of meals. When the child, little baby or infant, has got his hand and all around the dish or platter of food, Rasulullah SAW teaches the child, first thing, Sammillah, say Bismillah. Wakul bi aminik, eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yalik, and eat of that food which is in front of you, which is close to you. Three simple etiquettes. Simple things which you and I take for granted. So if the environment at our homes is not created, if we don't foster proper Islamic upbringing, morals, values. What do we expect? Do we expect that plant that is growing in the green field which I mentioned in the beginning, which is nurtured, nourished, irrigated, and looked after, and cared for, observed well, is it going to be like that plant and tree which is going to bear beautiful fruit, delicious fruit, or will it be like that plant which is in the desert and nobody cares for it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed us, مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةُ وَهُمْ سَبْعُ سِنِينَ. When your son is 7 years of age, when your child is 7 years of age, then command your child to perform salat. We teach our children to share their belongings, to share their food, right from infancy. Every child has sometimes, or many children have this innate quality. They like everything for themselves. They do not want to share. But if from this tender age, we teach our children how to share our food, then when they grow up, they will become generous people. They will not become misers. They will not have greed in them. They will not become oppressors. They will not become swindlers. They will not involve themselves in fraud, in theft. Don't we see this in our society today? Person involved in fraud. Person involved in rape. Gang warfare. Drugs. Muslims. It is easy to blame somebody else. But remember, the mother's lap is the first madrasa. It doesn't mean the father has no responsibilities. Rasulullah said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every one of you is a shepherd. And he's got a flock to tend, to look after. Our children are our flock. They are our blood, our flesh, our liver, as we say. They will bring joy to us in this dunya and in the akhirat. They'll become a means. They can become means of our salvation. That child that is taught good manners, Rasulullah has mentioned that no father has given his son any gift better than good manners. Probably a father may think, my son has passed his matric exams, and I'll buy him a car. He promised him a car. He's qualified as something. He's got some accolades. And there's your gift. I bought you a nice home or a car. Yes, yeah. We have to assist our children. But there is no gift any father can give his child better than good manners. When that father wakes up at night, when that mother wakes up at night, and they go past by the child's room, and to see that child engrossed and engaged in tahajjud salat, and he's still a little kid, does it not bring joy to us? Or will it cause us pain? If you go past and you see your child involved in some haram activity, if he's taking drugs, my respected brothers and elders, this is a very important topic that I've just touched on. How often we find, and this is very rampant now, people are hardly married, just 2 or 3 days, a few days gone by, and we find there's a divorce that has taken place. Why? We have not made the correct tarbiyat of our children. We have not taught them the right Islamic values and morals. There is no Allah in their life. When the child grows old, now he decides to learn something about Islam. It is mentioned knowledge that has been attained whilst a person is an infant in his tender age. It is like engraving something in the rock. It remains there permanently. How many of us we can rattle off our nursery rhymes now? What we learned when we were in nursery school. And what are those nursery rhymes? Something about Humpty Dumpty. The novels that we read. The type of literature that we read. The films that we viewed. Allah forgive us. This is something that we have to be concerned about. We have given our children complete freedom. Complete freedom. So they are allowed to view pornographic material. They are allowed to have friendship and to join companies of those people who have immoral character, who are immodest. They have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelihi. Rasulullah said, a man is on the creed, the deen of his friend, his bosom friend. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. A stern warning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beware. See first who you are going to befriend. Have we reached that position in our lives that we cannot even monitor the whereabouts of our children? Nobody is saying we have to use the cane and beat them up. No. Islam does not advocate that we should batter up the child. Or be cruel to the child. No. You speak to the child with love, with affection. You show the child warmth. Never should you tell the child, it's because of you that we are now getting divorced. I wish I did not give birth to you. Why don't you be like your brother, your cousins? No. You have to motivate the child. Aqra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala meets Rasulullah s.a.w. outside the masjid. And one of the grandchildren of Rasulullah s.a.w. come to him. Rasulullah s.a.w. was an embodiment of mercy, love, compassion. Immediately he picks up his grandchild. He kisses his grandchild. And this teaches us that we should show love and compassion to our children. Aqra bin Habis radiallahu anhu was a Bedouin, a villager. He asked, أَتُقَبِّلُونَ صِبْيَانَكُمْ? Do you actually kiss your children? You show them this type of compassion? Rasulullah said, yes. He said, well, I've got 10 children. Never in my life did I kiss any one of them. Rasulullah says, then what do I do if Allah Ta'ala has snatched away mercy from your heart? مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. The person who shows no mercy to his children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not show mercy to him. Therefore, we should show compassion to our children. Talk to them with love, with affection. Don't shout and scream at them. Talk to them with love. Show them that you are a merciful father. Open the lines of communication with them. When the lines of communication are closed, one father told me the other day, Malana, I'm feeling so terrible. As I went up to my driveway, I saw my little young daughter, whom I love so much. The moment she saw me, she became terrified, she became awestruck. She runs into her room, into the house, and locks herself in her room. Why? You see, it's because I cannot control my anger. I love my children. But when I lose myself, I cannot contain myself. I become abusive. I physically abuse my child. What has happened? The child has become terrified of its father. How often the parents are fighting, quarreling in front of the child. Brothers and elders, do you know what happens? After some time, initially the child will ignore it. The child may just cry. You'll find sometimes the child going to the mother. But after a few years, this child cannot take this depressing atmosphere at home. And the very next thing the child will do is, will start taking drugs, alcohol. It will seem to be going away in bad company. You will find many kids in the school, or in the madrasa, in any class environment. Sometimes you see a child just screaming, for no reason, shouting, doing something very, very foolish. The behavior is terrible. But when one examines the reason for all this, this child lacks attention. The child lacks love at home. The parents are always quarreling, fighting. The result is this child has been deprived of warmth, love and affection. So how will it find its attention? It will do foolish things in the class. Even though it's something which is not right. But this is how the child seeks attention. Brothers and elders, as I mentioned in the beginning, this bundle of joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, this is a great amanat in our hands. We have children. Spend quality time with them. We should display justice between our children. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want you to be witness to a gift that I have given my son. What is it? A piece of land. Rasulullah inquires from him, have you given a similar gift to other children of yours? First he asks him, you have other children? He says, yes. Have you given them an equal gift? He says, no. Rasulullah says that don't make me a witness on oppression. You are making zulam. We have to be equal to our children. So the correct tarbiyat, the correct ta'aleem, then the manners we teach our children, and of course very important is dua. We have to raise our hands and make sincere dua for our children. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ Oh Allah, bestow us with wives and children who will become the coolness of our eyes. Who will become the coolness of our eyes. This is a dua which is mentioned in the Quran. Read this dua. If the child is abusive, if the child is disobedient, inshallah after some time, of course with the correct tarbiyat, that now we are going to try and inculcate in our children with love and affection. Would that make this dua, fervent dua, cry to Allah, that oh Allah, this child must become the coolness of my eyes. So when you grow old, this child will support you. This child will take care of you. This child will not be rude to you. When you leave this world, this child will still send some isali sawab for you. It is mentioned in hadith that Rasulullah has mentioned, when a person passes away, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَنُ عَمَلُهُ, all his deeds come to an end, except three things. Sadaqatin jariyah. Sadaqa jariyah that he gave, perhaps a masjid he built or a well, people are benefiting from there. Or knowledge that he passed on to others and people are benefiting still. Or waladin salihin yadu lahu. A pious child that he has left behind. And even though the parent has left this world, the child hasn't forgotten the parent. And the child makes dua for the parent. It's a nice incident which we have mentioned previously, that a person had seen a dream in some Qabristan. He sees the deceased every evening coming to the end of the Qabristan. And there was one particular woman there. And she would receive trays, silver trays of blessings. And she was the only one who would receive these blessings, and everybody else then will go back. So he inquired in his dream that why is this woman getting these type of blessings? It was said, she's got a son who is a hafiz of the Quran. And you'll find him in a certain stall. And he's always engaged in sending sawab for his deceased mother. So the person who had seen this dream was very curious. He goes and he meets this youngster. And he sees exactly in the dream, what he had seen in the dream, that this pious young boy was making dua for the mother and sending sawab to her by reciting the Quran. Months went go by. And this man sees a dream. And he sees a very similar dream. It's the Qabristan and the evening, the deceased, the souls are coming. And this time even this mother receives nothing. She also goes back empty handed. He becomes worried. He goes and he searches for this youngster in the little store that he had met him before, only to find out that he also passed away. What do we understand from this? That even when our parents go away, we send sawab for them. And this can only happen if we made the correct tarbiyat of our children. Brothers, the bottom line is, it may be very, very difficult to swallow. It may be very, very crude. But we have failed to become genuine role models for our children. We lie, we cheat. We deceive people in front of our children and we expect them to keep their promises. Somebody phones home and we do not want to entertain the guest or answer that call. So we tell the child, they tell him, I'm not around. What are you doing? You are teaching the child how to lie. One Sahabiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had her fists, her fingers closed. And she called out to her little child, come here, I've got something to give you. And as the child was still coming towards her, Rasulullah asked her, do you have something to give this child? She says, yes, I've got a piece of date. And she showed Rasulullah, there's a date I wish to give this child. He says, if you had nothing, and then you deceive the little child coming towards you, it would tantamount to speaking lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to become genuine role models. These flag bearers of Islam, of the ummah tomorrow, which are today our bundle of joy, coolness of our eyes, it is left to us in which way we are going to grow this tree. Are we going to nurture it correctly? May the correct tarbiyah, ta'aleem, inculcate in the child and foster good manners in the child. Brothers, a very terrible thing we do. We create fear in the child for certain things, certain animals. There's a dog, or there's a lion, or there's a goose coming. And of course, with that, we say, there's that Molana coming. Or I will tell your Molana about you. Brothers, this is not correct, not fair. We've created, yes, perhaps in the past, maybe some Molana used to whack the little children. No, this is child abuse. Allah protect us. You've got to show love to the child. Don't create fear into the child. Open the lines of communication. The child does something wrong. Sit down, work around the problem. Try and create a solution. But by beating up the child, you're not going to win over the love of the child. You're going to lose the child. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.